The Lord's been talking to me nearly all week after we had some Sunday school lessons about the love of the Father and how that He loves us. And the Lord just kept talking to me. I was thinking of, directed toward this scripture that Jesus taught during the Sermon on the Mount about prayer, Matthew chapter 6. He introduced the people to the Father here. Up to this point, people didn't really use the word Father for God. Not much in the Old Testament. It was more Almighty God. And the word Father is introduced to us by Jesus, His Father. And He shared Him with us. He connected us with His Father. That's what Jesus came to do. And in Matthew chapter 6, He talks quite a bit about the Father and His thoughts toward us. Then first verse, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He says in verse 3, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Keep it private from people on every side, I believe he's saying, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Verse 6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, or your secret place, and when thou hast shut thy door, you shut everything out, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I remember reading about John Wesley's mother, and how when she, as a mother of a big bunch of children, she would sit down in a chair and she would throw her apron up over her head, and she taught her children that when mama is sitting with her apron over her head, be quiet and respectful, and this is my time when I'm talking to the Lord. And she would, that was her little secret place. She, as a busy mother, she couldn't leave the house or go to a secret room, but she would put her apron up over her head. I remember as a busy mother, I would pray sometimes, and the one that was the baby would just crawl up on my back and tumble over my head. Well, it's important for a mother to still go to the secret place even when she is a busy mother, because there's nothing like example to show the children that this is what we do. The most important thing we do is to talk to the Father. My sister just sent me a picture this morning of my mother. I don't know how long it was before she died, but it was not very long. But it was of my mother on her knees. And that really was what my mother did. My mother would clean up in the morning, and she would kneel in the bathroom there, and she would have her time of prayer. And we knew Mama is having her prayer. Up to the very end of her life, age 89, my mother still was a woman of prayer. That was one way that I could connect with my mother like no other in her later years, was say, Mama, do you want me to pray with you? Oh, yes. She would pray all over the world. She would mention this one and this one and this one in different countries. And she carried a burden for people. And the work of God all over the world. So here he introduces his Father. You have a Father that's in secret. Go to him in secret. And it says, when you pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. This is one of my favorite scriptures, I think, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. He still wants us to ask. Jesus still is telling us, ask your Father, even though he knows what you have need of. And I have found great comfort in coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is what I need. You know what I need before I ask you. You know what I need. I'm thankful that you know, Lord. And yet you want me to ask. He knows what we need before we ask, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask. We should still come, but it just means that we can have confidence that he knows we need this. He knows what we have need of. So in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father. Our is a sharing word. Our means he's wanting to share his Father with us. So when we come, we can say, Lord, your Father and mine too. Your Father and mine. Jesus is saying, my Father and yours. Our Father. So that's the very first thing that he wants us to have in our minds when we come to the Father, that he is sharing his Father with us. What did it cost him to share his Father with us, to bring us to the Father? That's a good thing to come in mind when we enter into our secret place and begin to pray. Let us remember first thing what it cost us, or what it cost Jesus to give his Father to us, and have a mind of gratitude and love and thanksgiving as we approach him, that we have his Heavenly Father as our Father. We also want to, as we pray, not pray selfishly, as Jesus did not pray selfishly, but to pray for others, pray that others may have the Father too. Our Father, my brother's Father, and my sister's Father, our Father. Lord, what I pray for myself, I'm praying for this one and these ones over here. This is what I desire, not for just for me, but for us all. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Remember the scripture in Hebrews 11, verse 6, I believe it is. It says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is. Jesus said, our Father, which art. That's a form of the word to be. You are. In the second person, we'd say, he is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Lord, you are. You exist. You live eternally. You live forever. I believe in Revelations, it says, he which was and is to come. That's what we want to have in mind when we come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I believe that you are. I believe that you are my Father, that you are. When Moses said, what do I say to the people of whenever I come to them, Jesus or God said, say, I am hath sent you. I am. You are. He is. All of those have to do with the eternal existence of God. I believe in that. I believe in the Heavenly Father who is. And where is he? He's in heaven. In, I believe it's Ecclesiastes, there's a thought there that says about another reference to much speaking. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking, but in Ecclesiastes, it teaches that our words should be few. And it, let's see. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. What is that talking about? Words that are to no profit. for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. That's quite something to think about, isn't it? Jesus said, Matthew 12, I believe it is, that by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So Solomon says here, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Let thy words be few. And Jesus says, our Father which art in heaven. That concept right there is really an important concept. He is in heaven, and I'm on earth, and I need to be careful what I say and what comes out of my mouth. In verse 3 it says, a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Verse 6 it says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Well, we want, as there's other scriptures that have to say, thanksgiving instead of corrupt language. Lord, help us that we would be very, very careful of the words that we say in prayer or just in conversation. Our Father, which art in heaven. Another scripture, I believe it's Psalms 10. I'm not sure. But it talks about the Lord in Psalms 11 and verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. So as we teach the children, there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So be careful. Little eyes what you see, little ears what you hear, little mouth what you say, little hands what you do. The Lord's in heaven. But his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hates that. He hates that violence and that wickedness. There's other scriptures about the Lord looking down to guide us, hearing our prayers. Let's see. I know there's one in the Psalms, but there's one over in 1 Peter 3. Let me just grab that one right quick. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Proverbs 15, I believe. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. What's another one about him being in heaven and looking down to answer the prayers of the contrite? I believe it's Psalms 51. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I believe Isaiah chapter 57 has something like that too. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Doesn't that just go right along with our Father which art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. Here, this one in Isaiah. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also. Oh, that's what's such a comfort. Yes, I know God dwells in that high and holy place. But look where he also dwells, where his presence is also with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Let's see, there's one in Psalms. Again, I wanted to get that shows his delight in the prayers of his people. Psalms 145 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Thank the Lord. The Lord wants us to cry unto him, to call upon him for everything, for any time, day or night. He wants to hear our cry. He wants to hear our praise. He wants to hear us call upon his name. His eyes are over us and his ears are open unto their prayers, it says. Well, thank the Lord. He loves to hear his children pray to him. So he taught us, as he did here in Matthew 6. And also, the parallel scripture is in Luke 11, is it? Or 12? Luke 11, where he gives a little... The disciples ask him to give them a little tutorial. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Luke 11 and 1. So he begins to tell them exactly what he told them there. Nearly exactly. Some words are different. In Matthew 6, Our Father. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, we've talked about our Father which art in heaven. Now let's talk about hallowed be thy name. When we come to the Lord and... Let me just look here in John. He tells us to come in his name. John 16 and 26. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, and because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So he says, ask in my name. Hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy and sacred. Let us be careful about his name. I think about and I've talked to us this before about this, the practice in this world of using God's name in a vain way or in a profane way. When you're excited or angry, use God's name. Lord, help us never, never to do that. We want to make it a law. Lord, write this law in my heart that I would not take the name of the Lord in vain. Think about on social media, so many people write what they say and then they put OMG. That G, is that the word God? Or sometimes they say, oh, I didn't say that, I just said G-O-S-H. And that's kind of like a mild expletive or profanity. But to God, how does he consider it? If G-O-S-H is just a mild, then any form of using God's name is commanded against, I believe. So let us be careful about the name of the Lord. Thine hallowed be thy name. Let's keep sacred things sacred. His name is sacred and hallowed and holy. Was it Luke 11 that says, no, it says hallowed. I believe there's other scriptures that say holy is his name. There's one in Psalms that gives us the thought, holy and reverend is his name. That's why we don't use the name reverend before our names as a title. Holy and reverend is his name. Let's see, that's Psalms. What is it? If you find it, I wish you would read it for us.
Psalms
111. Thank you. I was looking at Psalms 101. I knew it was in there somewhere. Psalms 111 and 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. In our prayer or in our lives, everything that we do, we want to reverence his name. We don't want to take that word holy and put it on our name, or reverend and put it on our name, but that's his name. All right, back to Luke 11. Thy will be done. Oh, thy kingdom come. That's the next division of this little prayer. Thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Why do we say that when we, do we just say those words, or what attitude do we have when we say, when we look at that, thy kingdom come? Jesus, as a young boy, he put aside all other interests and everything else in life to do the work of the kingdom. Remember what he said? Knowest thou not that I must be about my Father's business? So the business of the kingdom occupied Jesus' mind as a 12-year-old boy. And I believe just as young as it can occupy ours, that pleases him. The kingdom, that's first. Thy kingdom come. What does that mean when we pray that to the Lord? I believe it means for us to pray for his kingdom to come in us. Lord, let your kingdom come in me. Yeah. Set up your rule and your reign in my heart. Thy kingdom come. And we're to have an interest for it to come in this world. Lord, we want your kingdom to, we want your church, your rule, your reign, your heavenly kingdom to come in every heart. Like this, the song, the Christmas song says, let every heart prepare him room. Yes, Lord. Our interest, our first interest, as he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we want before all else, before we ask for money, for food, for anything. Thy kingdom come. We want first things first. And here's the little order of the three things here. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth. Well, first, thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So, as we come to the Lord in our daily prayer, in our minds, maybe we don't say it just like this, but in our minds, we want his name to be glorified and hallowed. We want his kingdom to come in us and in the earth. We want His will to be done. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Jesus, Matthew 6, he said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What is it that makes heaven, heaven? I thought of that one time. What is it? Why do I want to go to heaven? Why? What is heaven? It's where God's will is done, is always done. Everyone in heaven is doing God's will. And that's what makes it heaven. You wouldn't want to go to a place where God's will is not done completely and all the time there. This prayer is for us to pray, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth, which in earth as it is in heaven. I believe that we can pray that, not, Lord, let me do thy will, but your will be done in me and in this earthen vessel. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I want your will to be done in me just as reverently and as quietly and as assuredly as it is in heaven, with no question and no doubting and no hesitation. Lord, just as promptly as it is done in heaven, just as sacredly as it is done in heaven, and as completely. Lord, I believe we can pray this as much as we can see it applied to our lives. Lord, I don't want your permissive will. I want your perfect will. I want to obey you completely. I want to have a heart that serves you fully and a heart that loves you and praises you and surrenders to you, Lord, in every way. As it is, Lord, thy will be done in earth, in this earthen vessel, as it is in heaven. Go down just a little bit now. Give us this day, Lord, as we have now prayed, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As we have got that settled in our hearts, you know, that will direct the rest of our prayer. And then we can pray, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we have his portion first and then ours. I believe that would please the Lord for us to, when we pray, to completely put him first, to praise him, to honor him, to lift up his name, and to surrender to do his will. It seems like that when we begin the prayer like that, it prepares our hearts to ask for the things that we need, does it not? When I say, your will, your name, your kingdom first, then it prepares me and it gets me in the position to ask for, give us this day our daily bread. I believe also that this, the honor and the praise and the glory that we're giving him at the very first, it helps us to have the faith to ask him for our daily bread, for what he sees that we need each day, not more than, not less than, but Lord, our daily bread, strength, the preparation that we need, Lord, for every day. And forgive us our sins, or forgive us our debts in Matthew, sins is in Luke. As we forgive our debtors. This is an important part of the prayer. Not that he's teaching daily sin, but there are places in our lives that we may not realize that we owe the Lord. There may be praise that's due to him that we have not learned yet or done yet. Lord, I'm in debt to you. Forgive that debt. And what you realize, what you know, Lord, about me that I have not realized myself. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me. Help me to praise you and honor you as I should. We also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Are there people that we feel like owe us? That we keep holding that against them? Well, he should have considered me. He should have met my needs. She should have paid me attention. She should have taken care of this. It's not taken care of. As we pray, let us forgive. He teaches that in another place. Well, he says here in Matthew 6:14, but if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty definite. That's pretty serious. I believe we need to keep that serious frame of mind at all times. When one of our loved ones was facing death, I remember how serious that was in our hearts. And it was asked of that loved one, do you have any grudges against anybody? You're getting ready to die. Have you forgiven everybody that you were angry at? That's very serious to us. We want that to be done and not an unfinished thing in our lives, but we want to have that taken care of. A simple prayer, but it has so much to do with our lives. Our words, our behavior, our aspirations, our ambitions, our trust, our daily trust, our food, our daily food, our strength and health. It's all in here. It's all in this little way that the Lord wants us to pray. Forgiveness, letting go of debts and grudges. All of that's in there. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's in there. So forgive us, give us, forgive us, and lead us. That comes after thy kingdom, thy name, thy kingdom, and thy will. Then give us, forgive us, and lead us. See the simple trust that's in this prayer. As to the one who is the source of everything. And the Lord, he said, your Father knows that you have need of that daily bread. He knows we have need of it. That forgiveness and that leading. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. He knows that we need that. We can come to him with absolute faith and trust. The Lord hears this. He knows that I need this. He wants me to pray for this. When you know that the Lord hears you and that he knows you need it, it gives you great faith to ask for it. I want to get a scripture now from, I believe it's Song of Solomon. expresses the Lord's desire to hear us pray. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in verse 14. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. If we find ourselves in these stony places, and difficult places in our lives, he says, let me hear your voice. I believe there's another one. Chapter 8, verse 13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. What a pleading of the Lord with us. Let me hear your voice. He wants us to call upon him. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to surrender to him and lift up his name as holy. He wants us to ask for forgiveness. He wants us to ask for leadership and guidance. This and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Really, it should say, or it does say, deliver us from the evil one. Thank the Lord, we can ask the Lord that. Deliver us from the evil one, as Jabez asked. Keep me from evil that it might not grieve me, or bring sadness or grief to me. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Yes.
Amen. How this prayer, it first brings the kingdom and the will and the name of the Lord into focus, then the request, and then at the end, again, returning to give praise and honor and the glory to the Lord. As we mentioned Revelations this morning, let's return to there. Revelations chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And again in chapter 5, verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever. Verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. George Frederick Handel put that to music. Beautiful chorus there. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength and honor and glory and blessing. Yes, thank the Lord. But he ends his prayer this way. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Remind us, Lord, at the end of our prayer. That's what he's doing. Is letting us realize that everything we need, he has it in his kingdom. He has the kingdom at his disposal to give us whatever we need. Thank the Lord. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This word, amen, I don't want to leave it out. Amen means let it be so. So be it. It means truth. It means verity, assuredness. Amen. It says in Revelation 5:14, and the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Well, I'm inspired by this prayer every time. Excuse me. All of the things that it mentions, I love to think about them, each one. But I love the introduction to the Father that it gives us, our Father. It reminds us of the kingdom. Thank God. Well, I trust this is the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning, that this would be a blessing to each of us, is my prayer. Amen.